Today is May 26, 2021. I'm Heidi Morris, an archivist at the Ann Arbor District Library, and I'm speaking with Fred Adams about Jones School in Ann Arbor and the surrounding neighborhood. So to start out, could you please say and spell your name for us?
Fred Adams, F-R-E-D-A-D-A-M-S.
And when and where did you grow up?
Born and raised in Ann Arbor. I grew up in Ann Arbor, lived here all my life.
What about your parents? Did they also live here their whole lives or move here in adulthood?
As far as I know, they lived here all their lives.
What did your parents do for work?
My mother was an elevator operator for the Ann Arbor Trust Company. Also, she did some waitressing for the Midway Bar. My father also worked for Ann Arbor Trust Company, maintenance, repair, that kind of thing. Also worked as a bartender at the Derby Bar.
Wow. Okay. And those were both on Ann Street, weren't they?
They were both on
Midway and Derby.
Both the bars were on Ann Street, yes.
Did you?
Ann Arbor Trust Company, of course, still there on the corner of Huron and Main Street.
Right. Okay. Did you have any siblings?
No. Only child.
With all that comes with it.
My mother remarried, and for the period of time that she was married, I did have a stepbrother. Lasted maybe a couple years.
Okay. What years and grades did you attend Jones School in Ann Arbor?
I attended Jones School from kindergarten through the ninth grade. So I left there in 1947. So that's 10 years off. So it's 37, 47 roughly, I guess.
Okay. So you had the full experience at Jones School, really, as a K-9 school.
You got it.
How did you get to school, to Jones? Can you describe that?
You know, as a kindergartner, I don't really remember. I can only guess that either my parents took me to school or I walked to school with neighborhood kids. I really don't remember how I got to school those early years. Of course, in the later years, I was born on the corner of Ashley and Kingsley, and I walked from there to Jones School, which is roughly four blocks. But when I was very young, kindergarten, first grade, I really don't remember. But I got there.
That's what counts. Could you describe a typical school day? And this might be quite different depending on your age. So whatever you have the strongest memory of.
You know, I really don't have any memories of what a typical school day would have been. Other than just coming to school and being there and going to classes. As a elementary school, we had homeroom, of course, and we did whatever happened in homeroom. Then junior high school portion of it, we went from class to class. But what happened in those classes, I really couldn't tell you. What a typical day was, I really couldn't tell you. Other than we had classes, we had lunchtime, we played in the playground outside of Jones School. as we got older, we played a pretty rough game of soccer during lunch hour on a field that was pretty much gravel. So
that would be a rough game.
There were some scratches and scars, yes, because as we got older, we played tackle rather than touch or anything like that. Not smart.
What kinds of activities did you participate in? Sports, music, arts?
Sports. There was organized football from my eighth grade on. Fully equipped in helmets, shoulder pads, all of it. As a team, we went from Jones School down to Riverside Park. We walked down there for practice and back. We had a intramural league of football between Jones, Tappan, and Slauson Junior High Schools. There was a gym available in the locker room and gymnastic equipment, played basketball. Pretty much a full range of athletic endeavors. We're kept busy. Music, there must have been music, but I really don't remember participating in music. As a junior high school, we had 1 year we had art, 1 year we had home ec, 1 year we had shop, and we have facilities for each one of those. And a shop teacher who was also kind of the enforcer in the school. I heard of some spankings, but I don't remember getting any. In fact, I know I didn't. I was a wimp. Other than that, like I say, it was very busy. We kept very busy. I learned how to cook from my home ec course, which I took home because my mother sometimes didn't get off from a second job until late. And if I wanted to eat, I had to prepare it for myself, or I had to go where she worked, or I had a meal in the bar or restaurant. They were a restaurant as well as they served food as well as being a bar.
Mm-hmm.
What else can I remember? Like I say, I enjoyed home ec. I learned to cook, and I enjoy cooking to this day. And I became a fairly decent cook. Woodwork, enjoyed. Did some stuff in woodwork that led to continuing as an adult. Art, I didn't go far in art. I wasn't much of an artist. But I enjoyed it. It's something we had to participate in, 1 year of each.
I don't know if you had a sense of this for shop and home ec, but maybe you did for the intramural football league. How do you feel that Jones School's facilities and resources compared to other schools in the area?
Don't have a real feel for it. Never saw facilities in the other schools. My guess is that our resources were not up to like Slauson and Tappan. Our equipment probably wasn't up to Slauson and Tappan either, but I have no real feel for that because I wasn't in and out of those schools that often.
Did the football league, the intramural league, were all the games at Riverside Park, or is that just where you practiced?
I cannot remember. Riverside Park was where we practiced. I don't remember where we played. I don't think we played our games at Riverside. I think we may have played some of the other fields. Maybe it's Lost North Tappan. I don't remember.
Okay. How would you describe the education you got at Jones School? Did you feel academically prepared for high school, for example?
Have no real way of evaluating that. As I went from Jones School to Ann Arbor High, I personally didn't feel non-competitive with other students at Ann Arbor High. I can't speak for others in my class. Mm-hmm. Are you still with me?
I'm still here. Yeah.
Okay.
Who were your classmates at Jones School? Who lived in that neighborhood and who attended that school?
Oh, that's a lot of names that I can remember. People like Audrey Slate, Dick Slate, Coleman Jewett, the Baker family, the Calvert family. There are some Jackson, there are some Gullies. Still thinking beyond that, I really can't remember. I remember Margaret Tagagi and Tony Lupai and some of the other Lupais. We had people who were bussed in from Woodmore Lake and from Hamburg. Other than the Lupai family and Margaret Tagagi, I really cannot remember. Other people were like Nelson Turner, the Pattersons. Oh boy!
I mean, that's a good selection.
Betty Williams. There are a few others. So I'd spend some time thinking about it. I probably could remember, kind of running up and down the street in my mind. Doug Williams, who ran the Dunbar Community Center, and his children went to Jones School. Paul Bacon, the Bacon family.
Okay.
There are a few there. They'll pop up later.
Yeah, that's a fantastic start. In terms of the students who bussed in from Whitmore Lake and Hamburg, do you know what the reasoning behind that was or the goals of that, having them bus in?
No, I don't, other than the fact that I don't think they had the facilities in Whitmore Lake in particular. Some of these schools were still like one-room schools in Woodmore Lake. And other than that, I don't really know why they bussed them in.
Mm-hmm. Did that shift the demographics at the school? Was it primarily, would you say, Black students? Or would you have a guess at sort of the racial demographics of Jones School when you were there?
The students out of Hamburg and Whitmore Lake were Caucasian. We had the Cook family lived across the street from me on Kingsley, went to Jones School, and another Caucasian family lived next door to them, the Fritz family. Ed Fritz, Marilyn Fritz, also went to Jones School, who were Caucasian. So there was a mix there. There was also, if memory serves me correctly, several Greek families like the Carouses and the Davidses, who also went to Jones School.
Okay.
And my memory is now dry.
And did all those students get along at school, or were there any tensions?
Racial tensions? No, we were just kids going to school together.
With all the normal sort of school
interactions. Normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much so.
Do you remember when Jones School shut down in the 60s?
No, I do. I do not, no.
Okay.
I was aware that sometime later it became a community high school, and it was a voluntary school, if memory serves me correctly, that you could elect to go to.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember much about that, just reading some things about the school. I didn't participate in anything at the community high school.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then during the time you were at Jones, were there any discussions about segregation at Jones School or in the surrounding neighborhood that you remember?
No, it was just Jones School was there. We were students at Jones School. It never came up as far as I can remember.
What do you recall? Go ahead.
I think as we got in high school, we became a little bit more aware of that kind of thing. It was, you know, we had our families and we went home to our homes and they went home to their homes, and there was not much after school participation between the two groups, other than the football or other athletic endeavors. Pretty much separate.
Okay. What stands out about the Carytown sort of Fourth Avenue neighborhood during the time that you were attending Jones School? Is it, if you have, you said you were running through the streets in your mind, do you have sort of a mental picture of it, or smells or sounds you remember?
Not really. Sounds, smells, no. No, I can't answer that one.
That's okay. You said you were frequently walking back and forth between school or football practice and over to Fourth Avenue to Midway Bar. What was that experience like for you as a child or adolescent?
It was just something I did. nothing associated, nothing negative, nothing positive associated with it. I went from point A to point B and back again.
Mm-hmm.
Going to football practice. We went football practice as a group. There were no negative things that occurred that I can remember. It's just, like I said, it's just something we did.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any other memories of Ann Street, like where Midway Bar was? I'm curious to pick your brain a little bit about the businesses on that block.
I spent a lot of time on Ann Street. Mm-hmm. My uncle, Wendell Cooper, who also lived with us in my home on Kingsley Street, ran the pool room, and he allowed me to come in before I was 16 to learn how to play pool. And as a result of that, I played a lot of pool in that particular pool room on Ann Street. There are two pool rooms on Ann Street, one run by the Whitman family, who were Black. I think the other pool room was run by a Greek gentleman run by my uncle. On the corner of Ann and Main Street was a Kroger store. Next to that was the first pool room. Next to that was the Midway Bar, and owned by David Keaton and his wife, Moselle Keaton, who also had rooms they rented above the bar area. The Midway was a bar, and it served food as well. At one point in time, they had music in the Midway, and my favorite person, of course, is Washboard Willie and his Super Sons of Rhythm. And he actually played a washboard as a part of his instruments. Over the years, they did have other groups that came in to play. College students, Caucasian college students, frequented the bar, the Midway it was called, to participate in or listen to the music played there. Mm-hmm. It got to be a very popular university student place. Now, next door to that was the Derby Bar, where my father worked as a bartender. And they also served food, and they had housing or rooms that were rented above that building on second floor or third floor. Can't remember if it was the third floor or not. Mm-hmm. Next to that was a barbershop run by John Easley. And can't say much more than that. He ran a barbershop. next to that would have been, oh my goodness, another barbershop? No, Sanford McKinney had a shoe shop, had a shoe shining place, and I think he did dry cleaning as well there. You'd have to ask Willis Patterson about that, because he worked for McKinney as a shoe shine person for a while. Okay. Next door to that, was a small restaurant. I can't remember who ran it, or either that or the pool room, the other pool room by the Midway. The Whitmans was next door to that, and the small restaurant is next to that. And there was a leather shop on the corner that was run by a German gentleman. Around the corner, right on the corner, was a gas station, which was Black owned. He did gas and service vehicles there.
Do you remember the name of that?
I was going to tell you his name. I don't think the gas station, I'm not sure the gas station had a name. Oh, God, I know his name that well. It may come up later in the conversation. Around the corner on 4th Ave Street was another Black-owned barbershop. I can't for sure remember who owned that, who ran that. I remember Eudorus Collins was one of the barbers in the barbershop. Next door to that was some kind of, I don't know, maybe a beauty shop, but I'm not sure. Above that, there was rental rooms. And that was pretty much the end of the Black businesses in Ann Arbor in that time period.
That's fantastic. Thank you. See, I think you got the whole block and smells and sounds in there too, with the washboard music and restaurants. It all came out.
There may be a little wrongness in the sequence of the buildings, but they were all there.
Yeah. Do you remember, and linking this again to also the neighborhood around Jones School, do you remember discussions about urban renewal?
No, maybe. No, I really don't.
Or the Pax Beaker bypass was a conversation in the 60s, I think.
It's vaguely in the back of my mind. In the 60s, I'm not sure where I lived. I may have been out of that area and not involved in what was going on in that area.
Okay.
So I remember some talk about urban renewal, but not much.
Mm-hmm. How would you say that the Carytown and Waterhill neighborhoods have changed since, say, the 50s?
Gentrification, there is more Caucasian, much more Caucasian in that area than it was then. There are only a few scattered families in the area, and I don't know, but I believe that there is a fairly large contingent of Caucasian people in the area.
Mm-hmm.
I think at one point in time became a good place for people with money to buy property and modify the property.
Yeah. Did you or your family look for housing anywhere else in Ann Arbor?
My stepfather and my mother, I say I was born and raised on the corner of Kingsley and Ashley. There were three houses, four houses, five houses between Main Street and First. Six or seven houses that were Black owned. There were some white owned houses in that area also. My stepfather had wanted to purchase. We lived with my grandmother who owned the house. My stepfather wanted to purchase a house that was on Ashley that butted up to the house that on Kingsley that we grew up in. But because we were Black, we could not purchase any house on from Kingsley all the way down the street, Ashley, to Feld Street. It was all a white neighborhood, which was not red line, I guess you would call it. Other than that, I'm not aware of my folks trying to purchase housing anywhere else in Ann Arbor. There were Black families on Woodlawn in Ann Arbor. Woodlawn's off of Packard and runs into Sheehan, and there were several Black families there. When they came there, I don't know. I had relatives who lived in that area.
So it was kind of another pocket of...
Very, very small pocket.
Okay.
Like I say, only, memory serves me correctly, maybe half a dozen or so houses.
Can you think of anything else that you would like to add at this time about your memories of Jones School or the surrounding neighborhood?
No, I have a lot of members of people talk to you about the Dunbar Community Center, which was very active place to go after school. They had a pool table and a ping pong table in the basement, and the Ann Arbor Black Scout Troop, Troop Number 75, my uncle Vernon Adams was better known as Archie, was the troop leader. They were housed there, if you like. Music and other social functions took place there. Very, very active in the community. Later, the community center moved to a spot on Main Street, by which time I was not connected with the area anymore. I knew about it, but I wasn't involved in it.
Okay. Yeah, but you were in the Boy Scouts troop that your uncle led?
I was in the Boy Scouts from the age of 12 until I went into high school, probably the age of 14. And we did, as a Boy Scout troop, attend a jamboree of Boy Scouts. My first train ride from Ann Arbor to Valley Forge, where the jamboree took place. Wow. Can't tell you what year it was, but it was sometime in the mid 40s. Would have been after the war, so maybe 45, 46, 47, even sometime around then.
Do you happen to remember if any Boy Scout troops were ever connected with Jones School?
To my knowledge, no. Because if it connected with Jones School, it would have been an entirely Black troop, owing to the fact that it was a de facto segregated school.
What was it like for you to transition from Jones School to, was it Ann Arbor High that you went to?
Yes, ma'am. I don't remember a lot, except there are a whole batch of people there. And going from a majority Black school to a majority white school, it was an experience. Once again, there I don't remember many discriminatory experiences in Jones School, in Ann Arbor High School. We participated in athletics with no problems. Members of a lot of the athletic teams, basketball, football, track. And as far as track goes, I was a co-captain of the track team in Ann Arbor High School, so it was pretty interesting. I had some, my best friend in Ann Arbor High was Caucasian, and we had a lot of fun together. In fact, he became a dentist, and he was my dentist, Dr. Glenn McDowell.
Glenn McDowell?
Glenn McDowell, yes. And we did things like double date even. That was back in the late 50-51. Mm-hmm. Once again, for the most part, after school hours, you went home, they went home. And there was no mixing from that standpoint with the vast majority of people.
Anything else you'd like to add?
You picked my brain pretty clean.
Well, I showed up with a lot of questions, so thank you so much for sharing.
The gentleman who owned the gas station on the corner of Ann and Fourth Ave was Walter Harris.
Okay.
Nicknamed Fuzzy for whatever reason.
I believe we interviewed the Ann Arbor Cultural and Historical Museum Living Oral History Project interviewed Henrietta Edwards, who remembered working with her husband at a gas station or service station, possibly on that corner.
Could be.
Okay. Yeah, so that's great to have that name, Walter Harris. Thank you. All right, well, thank you so much, Fred, and thanks for your time.